Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can get the best Pelicans analysis in writing anywhere else. The other best Pelicans analysis is right here with Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget to give it a follow on Twitter as well, at Locked On Pels. It's on Facebook. You can like it there as well. So, rough night for the Pelicans last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder, losing 114-105. The day before in practice, Alvin Gentry, you know, when asked which team was going to show up, the team that lost to the Brooklyn Nets or the team that upset the Cavaliers at home without Anthony Davis, which one was going to be there? Who was going to play the Thunder? Which mindset and which personality was it going to be? And for at least the first half, was more of the latter. Or the former, sorry. It was the team that lost to the Nets. They came out uninspired, weren't playing too well. And all of a sudden, Anthony Davis leaves holding his right quad and didn't return to the game. And then in the second half, Pelicans kind of came alive, playing without Anthony Davis. And we're going to talk about maybe why that was the case here today. Ultimately, it wasn't enough. They were just in too deep of a hole. With what they had done, the Thunder had a 22-point lead at one point, and it's just too much for the Pelicans to come back against a team, especially when you've got the killer instinct of Russell Westbrook scoring a triple-double. I think it was his 23rd of the season, an absolutely insane number. So I want to recap that game for you guys. Not so much who played well, who didn't. You guys know if you watched the game, but I want to talk about some of the things and where, you know, the Pelicans cost themselves this game. And maybe what they could have done differently to win, because when you really think about it and look at it, this was a very winnable game. And, you know, they lost by 9 after being down by 22, but they pulled it within 5 at one point. So disappointing to see, because they could have won, stayed alive in that race for the 8th seed. You know, there's two more games on this homestand. You need to get one of those two, if not both, really, to make this considered a success. Two of those wins, you can go 4-2 on this. Otherwise you're going 3-3 if you win one of them, and 2-4. 2-4 is not what you want if you're a playoff team. So we're going to talk about some of those, maybe the missteps, some of the coaching with it. I want to talk about something that, you know, someone brought up to me, and they called the Anthony Davis effect, and explain what that is and why, you know, maybe it kind of propelled the team in the second half of the game. So going to have an interesting one. It's kind of going to have a lot of like discussion questions in it, things that are designed to make you think a little bit in this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is on iTunes, Audioboom, the app Stitcher, the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, basically wherever you can get podcasts. Locked On Pelicans is there, so subscribe to it. Make sure you're getting it when it comes out, usually 6 a.m., sometimes other times. But you want to make sure you're getting it when it comes out so you know what's going on with this team. Things happen fast in the NBA. So make sure you're subscribed. You know what's going on. No other podcast is coming to you 5 days a week like this, talking about your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And frankly, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, there's going to be a podcast for any team you follow in the NBA or NFL. And even if you like fantasy sports, you're interested in the drafts, all of it's there. So make sure you give those a follow as well. So before this game even started is where I think the Pelicans hurt themselves, and that was with the starting lineup. Their small ball lineup of Anthony Davis at center, Solomon Hill at the 4, Dante Cunningham at the 3, Buddy Hield playing the 2, and Drew Holiday at the 1 has been very effective, at least for this team. It actually ranks 6th if you go from the date they first started that. And I have an article coming out on bourbonstreetshots.com. I got to write it tomorrow, so it'll be out later in the week, either tomorrow afternoon, maybe Friday morning. But that lineup, since they started it against the Mavs on the 27th of December, is 6th in defensive rating and actually 19th in offensive rating. And that's good for the Pelicans because, frankly, on the season, I think they ranked 27th in offensive rating. So it's clearly a better offensive lineup than anything else they've used, or at least anything else they use that's gotten significant minutes. But they went away from that last night. They started Jrue Holiday, Buddy Hield, Solomon Hill at the three, Terrence Jones at the four, and Anthony Davis at the five. It's not a small lineup. Jones and Davis is not going to be considered a small lineup. And it's probably Alvin Gentry going with a hot hand after Terrence Jones' big game against the Cavs where he had the where he tied his career high with, I think it was, what was it, 36 points. But he doesn't pair particularly well with Davis. Yeah, he hustles. He does a lot well. And in the right situations, he plays incredibly well. But I don't, you know, those times he's played incredibly well are times Davis isn't playing. So I don't know if this was the right thing to do. Yes, the Thunder are one of the tallest teams in the league, but at a certain point, you kind of need to dictate matchups. And Jones and Davis hasn't been a good rebounding pairing. And they kind of struggled tonight and gave up a lot of offensive rebounds. And that's one of the places where they hurt themselves. You know, in the Zach Lowe article, he talked a lot about the Pelicans trying to figure out their identity. And Alvin Gentry's quoted in that. And Alvin Gentry earlier in the year talked about they need to figure out what they are. Well, it seemed like they were a small ball team that played well in transition and tried to score on the fast break. Sorry. And they'd been doing that effectively to the tune that it made their offense much better than what it is otherwise. And then tonight, and they played small ball against the Cavs. You just subbed in Terrence Jones instead of Anthony Davis. Davis could have put up that line against the Cavs if you know, he had been able to go and play. And so I don't necessarily think it was just Terrence Jones is really good all of a sudden or the hot hand. It's just he was in the right situation that, you know, whichever big you kind of put in there was going to do so. I don't know if that's going to work on another night or with two bigs in the same lineup. It's one role, essentially, is what I'm trying to get at here. So that was the issue there. And, you know, it didn't quite work out. And the Pelicans were getting beat. They looked sluggish offensively. They couldn't do anything. Didn't help that Anthony Davis was fairly cold, especially after having missed the game against the Cavaliers in the 2 days of practice prior to that. I think he missed his first four shots. Maybe that's what it was. Finished with a quiet night. But they're not playing the type of style they've been coaching to over the past, you know, month or so, which is small ball, grab the defensive board and go. And I think they just tried to match up too much with the opponent in the Oklahoma City Thunder and didn't just play their game, which had been effective, and getting away from that. So going back to the identity idea, this team needs to figure out who they are. And they need to decide, are you a small ball team? That's what I think they should be. Maybe they think something else. Are you, you know, a big team? You have enough bigs where you can do it, where you want to go with Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis, or Monta Ellis and Davis, or Monta Ellis and Jones off the bench, or whatever it is, whatever combination, go big. Just stick to something and go from that. The kind of changing this all around all the time is leading to a lot of inconsistency. It's 46 games into this season, five games over the halfway point. They shouldn't be figuring out who they are by now. It's not like this comes out organically necessarily. Alvin Gentry's the head coach. He decides what they are and what style he wants to run. Maybe that comes organically out of the players you have, but it's not like all of a sudden they're just going to figure it out one day. They should play small ball. It's been working. But they went away from it tonight. And it cost them the first half of the game. The Thunder put up 64 points to the Pelicans 45. That's going to hurt you right there. And the Pelicans were just in a hole after that. Second half starts. Davis is out because he took a knee to his thigh from Sabonis on the Thunder. And they started the lineup that did well against the Cavs. Terrence Jones at the five, Hill, Cunningham, Hield, Holiday. And lo and behold, the Pelicans go and score 37 points in that quarter and claw back into this game. And it was working. They were running three guards at a time, kind of going small as well, maybe some more shooting on the court that way. But they were playing small ball, and they clawed back into this game, and they had a chance with that. And it's something they think they should have been doing the entire time, and that's what really hurt them. You know, you're going to look at the Thunder's rebounds, and offensively they had 12. A lot of those, and I can the data is not going to be available till some point tomorrow. A lot of those were tip-ins. So they get it and they hit the ball. It's not like they're grabbing a board and bringing it down and restarting the offense. They're just tipping it in because the players were out of position. You can kind of live with that. It's not like you're getting out-rebounded. They just managed to get a hand on the ball and knock it towards the basket and was going in. You can live with that. It's not like they're ripping down boards instead of other people doing certain things, you know, boxing out and things like that. It's just, hey, having hands out and things like that. So you can live with this. And the Pels should have gone small and stayed the course. They scored only in this game 19 fast break points. Remember, it was 32 against Orlando. It'd been in the mid to high 20s the past two games against Brooklyn and against the Cavs. Think they'd have liked, say, 26 fast break points, seven more. At least make this game a little bit closer and looks like, hey, maybe they can do this. Because they could have pulled this out. But it wasn't meant to be, and partially because of the defense. And this is where, again, small ball might help. This is a team that wants to switch. They want to switch on defense and on everything. There's a pick. Big sets a pick for a guard. All of a sudden, your big is now guarding the guard. Oh, that sounds just poor phrasing and choice of words on my point. But you get the idea here. And at one point, you saw Terrence Jones getting matched up on Russell Westbrook, and he attacked. Jones can't slow, isn't going to be good enough. You know, he's kind of awkward and stuff at times. So, you know, when you go smaller, you have Hill and Cunningham in there. They at least have more lateral quickness. Now, no one's really going to be able to keep up with, you know, the human blur that is Russell Westbrook. But I'd trust Hill and Cunningham to do it more than Terrence Jones. And that's where they got burned. Again, the Pels gave up 62 points in the paint. 62. It's not like they had dominant bigs that they're getting low post shots on. A lot of that's Westbrook driving and scoring. Yeah, they had some, and Steven Adams who was doing well, and Sabonis was doing some work. But for the most part, it's by driving and things like that, and it's what's killing them, and it's that perimeter defense. You need Hill and Cunningham in there to help with that perimeter defense. There's a reason they were ranked six with that small, since that small ball lineup's been there and been, you know, the lineup that's getting the majority of minutes. I think this is one of those things where Gentry just did not do a good enough coaching job. The first sub they made was not to have Cunningham come in for Terrence Jones and to go play small. It was Omer Asik, who proceeded to get destroyed while he was out there. 46 games in, you probably should have your rotation set. Most other teams do. You know when certain guys get subbed in. Davis comes in at a certain, or comes out at a certain point. This other guy comes in at a certain point. You kind of have it down, not to an exact science. It's going to depend on game flow. But why the hell is Omer Asik getting minutes in this when we know what he can do and he's not helping the team? To more of that, why is Cheick Diallo a healthy scratch and not dressed in a uniform when he at least can come in and defend against an inbound and they had a Ginza dressed instead of him when Ajinsa was the one in street clothes on Monday? Why is there this inconsistency in the plan and the vision going forward? Yeah, maybe this isn't the team you want it to be long term, and the vision hasn't been there to put it together, and that's on Dell Demps. But to not have your rotation set and to not have an identity 46 games in, add that to the 82 games that Alvin Gentry coached last year, that's the problem, I think. And until you get some consistency with that, yeah, you're not going to have a whole lot of luck. And it's disappointing to see that in that at times it seems like the Pelicans are a discombobulated mess because there is no vision and forward thinking. And that's ultimately why they lost this game. I think if you go small, you stay in this, you don't give up as many points, you score more points, you don't have a 20-point first quarter. And maybe they can do this, and maybe they squeak out a win, or at least it just looks better and they try hard. The other thing was, Gentry said, they didn't have the energy to match up with OKC and the energy they came in with. What is going on with that? You know, Gentry said he didn't know which team was going to show up. You're the damn head coach of the Pelicans. This is your job to get guys motivated. If there's one thing he can control, it's that. He can't control if they make or miss shots a lot of the time, if they're taking good shots and just having an off night. He can control and motivate them. I did this in the Angry Cast on Monday. I screamed about this. You have Phil Weber, who is a motivational speaker. Get these guys amped up and do a better job. That's on the coaching staff. And that's an area where they are failing. This was a winnable game, despite what the score says at the final. They were within five at one point, and then just couldn't do it. And they were playing better in the second half, but if you don't start so damn slow, yeah, again, it's a winnable game. The Pelicans left this one on the court. They fought hard to come back into it, but if they didn't shoot themselves in the foot in the first half, they don't need to do that. And you can focus on trying to execute and win games rather than just making some shots and getting back into it. It's disappointing to see. It should upset fans. Should upset everyone that is any relation to the Pelicans here. Winnable game. Didn't do it. And I think it's because of the coaching in this one and the lineups. The last thing I really want to talk about on here is the Anthony Davis effect. And this was posed to me on a radio interview I did yesterday morning. And they asked, why is it that this team came out and played so well without Anthony Davis on Monday? And they said, do I think it's because when he gets the ball, they kind of all just watch him? And I it's something that I really hadn't thought about much before. And, I took a moment on air to think about it. And, I had to say, now that I think about it, yeah. You saw Drew Holiday in that game against the Cavaliers be more decisive than you've seen him all year. And it's something he needed to do. He didn't have that in this game against the Thunder. At one point, they had Steven Adams on a switch matched up against Holiday on the perimeter with Holiday on the three-point line. That is prime position to drive past him, blow by him, and get to the rim and try and score with a layup or a dump off. Instead, he flung a pass to Anthony Davis down low that was deflected because Davis was covered. Where was that aggressiveness? Why wasn't it there? And it's not there because Davis is on the court. And I think a lot of this has to go back to last year where Davis missed getting an All-NBA nod, missed out on, what was it, the $25 million with the Derrick Rose rule with his extension and the max deal. And he was upset, and rightfully so. That's a lot of money. Now, he ultimately probably missed it because of injuries, and if he had played 10 more games, maybe he gets in there and it's good. But, Jason Commies of Bourbon Street Shots, I got to get him on to come talk about this. I'll reach out to him for something next week to talk about his vision of the process with this team. But he thinks part of the process is get Davis his. Get him the ball, let him score a ton, and be the focal point, and never let something like last season happen again where he doesn't make an All-NBA team. Makes sense. You see the numbers he's putting up. But at a certain point, does that become a detriment to the team? And in a way, it does. Guys kind of defer to him when they maybe need to be a little more aggressive and assertive and score on their own. And that's the AD effect. And then you saw the difference that this team was in the second half without Davis because they knew they had to do that. They couldn't rely on him as a safety valve, safety net. They couldn't be passive and just get the ball to him and let him do work. They had to take it on to their own shoulders. And it's a bit disappointing that they can't do that while he's also in the game. But maybe, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And there's a bit of a catch-22, and there's not an easy way to do this. Again, it's on the coaching staff. That's who's got to fix it. But something to keep an eye on. When Davis comes out, how much harder do they look and play than when he's in there? Okay, so now really the last thing. Quick bit of news of the day, I like to say here. Buddy Hield selected to the Rising Stars game. He's going to be part of the World's Team representing Jamaica. That World's Team is stacked. They're going to beat the USA team, I guarantee you, in that Rising Stars Challenge. But nice to see Buddy get the nod. It shows he's been playing well. He'll get to play with other rookies on there, other second years. Porzingis is on that team. The fun one will get to be him and Jamal Murray on the same team. Are they going to pass each other the ball? Of course they are. I don't think they really care about this rivalry that people have invented comparing them to each other. So it should be fun. He should get a lot of playing time in that game, especially with it being in New Orleans. Really nice for him to get that nod and to get some recognition in his home arena. Very good for him. Got to be happy for the Pelicans rookie Buddy Hield. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, give me a follow. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Follow the podcast. It's at Locked On Pels on Twitter as well. Coming to you guys 5 days a week. Next game, Spurs at home Friday in the Smoothie King Center. That should be a fun one. Pels need a win. Spurs are going to be tough. I will recap that one, or recap, preview, there we go, that one for you guys on Friday, recap it on Monday, talk about a few other things in there as, in between as well. Should be a fun end of the week here on Locked On Pels. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.